Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, your official station to talk New York Rangers, New Jersey Devils, Juan Soto, Aaron Rodgers, whatever. Good morning, good morning. It's already been morning. I knew. I literally, my notes was writing this show up as Tuesday. I'm like, I'm not going to get on Monday. But this is my Monday night show. It is now 1:05. Tuesday morning. Club going up. I'll do the 5-hour KM to AM later. I opened up talking about the Devils-Rangers game. Devils beat the Rangers 5-1. We still have calls for that. Let's get back to the phone. Talk to Ross in Bergen County on the Fan. Ross, are you okay? Ross and the Rangers, new podcast coming out.
What's going on, Keith? I'm going to try to watch my words so I don't get the little red flag put next to my Ross and Rangers going forward. But holy hell, man, there's a lot I want to say. So first off, I'm going to defend my guy Valiquette real quick. I think what a lot of people are running with is the fact that he name-dropped the Instagram in that. And I think a lot, at least I resonated with, I don't know if you remember, Emmanuel Acho said something similar about Justin Herbert. A lot of Charger fans ran with that and then kind of gained traction.
Yeah, but like, I heard. But what does the Instagram comment mean? Like, it's just Instagram hockey? That's why Jack is like, what does it mean? What does it mean to play Instagram? I don't know. I'm just starting to follow hockey accounts on Instagram.
Well, obviously, Hughes is one of the flashiest players in the league. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing. I mean, you name dropped it last year. You said people pay to watch me play. That was kind of his whole premise. And I think what Valiquette was trying to say, because if you listen to him at a game-to-game basis, he's probably one of the few people at the network, and this isn't taking a shot at anybody, one of the few people at the network that calls it as he sees it and says it how it's supposed to be said. And he's not afraid to mince words. And what I took it as this team has no guts. This team has no balls. And the fact that a game that, like you said, was so out of it 5 minutes in allows for a guy like Jack Hughes to try. He tried doing the Forsberg where you do the offhand, try to loop it around the goalie from the other end of the net. You could afford to do that when the game is already out of hand 5 minutes in, because you know the other 26 guys on the other side of the bench are going to do nothing about it. They're spineless. They're cucks. They're essentially a bunch of Donald cucks. They just watch teams go, you know, take their ice. You mean, we watch Rivalry Week here with college football. I put out online, I took a little double flag. I put it right on center ice, because if there was a double flag on that bench, they would have planted it right on our Shield logo, and there wouldn't have been a single thing done about it.
Oh, yeah.
And then
after the first period.
Nothing. They would have clapped and cheered. They would have loved it. I'm talking about the Rangers. You see after the game, you see Vinny Trocheck saying, oh, I think this is actually one of our better played games recently. First of all, that could be
true. Yeah, why did he say that? He said, I think we played better, but we're in a funk. Like, what?
They're spineless, dude. And I'll say this. I'm the first one to tell you to fire coaches. I don't want Lavi Lutz from the start. I wanted Knobloch, which, by the way, talk about getting kicked in the balls. You see what he's doing out in Edmonton. He started the year last year behind our AHL bench and finished it coaching Game 7 of the NHL Cup Finals. Meanwhile, shout out a guy on Twitter, calls him Peter Laterolet, because he's essentially Gerard Gallant with a different legal name. And I honestly like Gerard Gallant. I felt like, obviously, after the year two, the way it ended against you guys, you know, go up 2-0, 5 goals a game, and you just got beat out of your own arena, or at Game 7 was at the Rock, but still, I mean, you got humiliated. I think something needed to happen. I would have let go of Chris Drury. I think you see what he's done so far. I heard Robbie and Lennox called before, and normally I think the way he breaks down the X's and O's is great. I couldn't disagree with him more about he was talking about Casey Cizikas, Cal Clutterbuck with the Islanders got. They call it the identity line. Clutterbuck's not even playing anymore, and Matt Martin is the other one. They're two of the biggest pylons in the league. They don't contribute anything. They just sit there. They just try to. They're instigators. We had one in Matt Rempe, who's his ass is down the AHL now, because I have a better shot of putting a puck in the back of the net than he does, and I haven't thrown on a pair of skates since I was 5. So this team is just beyond cooked. You know, I was talking about the coach. It's not going to change a thing. They could bring, you know, Quenville's got the allegations, but he's a hell of a coach. They could bring him in. They could bring Scotty Bowman in. It won't do a thing because this core is washed. It's stale. There's just no incentive for them to produce anymore. And he even brought up Lafreniere might be another one, because he was playing great hockey. He was probably the anomaly of the name after name you drop of every prospect they drafted high during the David Quinn era that they couldn't produce, they couldn't develop. Capo Caco is one of many who brought up that video going around of when we clapped and cheered at the lodge party when they drafted Jack Hughes, which is just the cream of the crop. And by the way, you talk about Hughes, his brother Thanasis Hughes over there. You got Luke. He's finally starting to produce.
Don't
too,
call
so.
Him Thanasis.
This is ridiculous.
Luke is for real. Luke is way better at hockey than Thanasis is at basketball.
You know what, dude? It's the fact that now Lafreniere. By the way, Will Collier. Robbie names Will Collier too. He's been great. But I'll say this. I don't know if you ever heard the name Sean Avery. He was a goon back in his day. He was basically the midget version of Matt Rempe. I wouldn't say he was a dwarf, but he was a goon, and he would get under people's skin. He put on his Instagram story, like 3 videos, breaks it down perfectly. You would think the blue line going into the offensive zone for this team in transition, you would think it was a brick wall. And I ain't talking about Shesterkin when there's money on the line. She's a whole other problem. I wouldn't give him $7 million, let alone the $13, $14 he's asking for. But I've brought him up numerous times. They're just so much that needs to be shaken up with this team that I don't even think it's possible. I don't even think it's possible how much needs to be dealt with this team. And by the way, when Drury was name dropped and Kreider and Trouba were the two we wanted to get rid of, now there's reports, which, you know, everything you take out of this beat reporters, you got to take with a grain of salt. But there's reports that no deals are going to happen. So now you got, first of all, this is now the second time you tried trading Trouba, who only wears the C on his chest, the captain of that locker room. So if you want him walking the plank, what does that say about the rest of the locker room that he knows he's not wanted?
It's a mess.
And also,
they're
Kreider,
divided.
Well, by the way, listen, dude, I was like 7, 8, 9 years old when they broke up the 2015 core. I remember the day Ryan McDonough and JT Miller got traded. For better or worse, Miller wound up being the bigger loss in that trade, but I was emotionally distraught. We got rid of McDonough. Matt Zuccarello trade might have been worse. Rick Nash, all those guys, the guys I grew up watching, the first sport I fell in love with, my first team, watching those guys leave. Now I'm seeing Chris Kreider still, all these years later, the only guy still from the 2014 team.
The bridge.
I'm out of it, dude.
I'm done with the emotional connections. This guy, listen, you know, he's got, because of the tenure, how long he's been here, by default, he's going to be high on the list of, you know, all-time goal leaders, point leaders. Doesn't have a cup to show for it. And the fact that he's still a prominent part of this team and they're not going to win, Jack, you know what, with him still here, I'm fine. I would trade him tonight. I would drive him to JFK myself. It's Mika, Lindgren so, never plays, and when he does, he's a liability.
Ross, is it a wrap? Is this a lost season? You think they can figure it out, bounce
it's
back?
It's been
from
a
this,
wrap or? 2 weeks ago. It's been a wrap since game 10 of the season. And I'm like, you know what? I'll say this. The one positive, they can't break my heart in April, May, and June. So that's the way I'm going to look at this season. You know what? That's the first time you'll hear something glass half full out of me. Is they can't wait another
you'll,
5 months.
You'll be all geared up for
stuff.
Clay Holmes' first start in Citi Field.
Hey, I'm getting that skull chant ready. That's, you know, the lose to Kirk Cousins on a game-winning safety. Get ready for it. Appreciate the time, man.
Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. Stay down till you come up. I know I have a drop that's been running. Stay down till you come. It is tough being a fan. Our emotions, we wear them on our sleeves. We get jerked around. We are up 1 minute, down the next. It just, you got to go through it to get to it. It sucks, but it is what it is. You can't control anything. You just watch and hope for the best. And a lot of us go from season to season. And, you know, like you just heard Ross, he picked the team and he's 7, 8, 9, the Rangers. And fast forward all these years, still no Stanley Cup. I mean, the teams that I picked, I was talking to someone recently. They're like, yeah, I like your show, but I just hate all the teams that you root for. I'm like, my bad. I didn't pick my teams knowing I would ever be a host on WFAN. I didn't ever think I'd have to speak about my fandom and teams. But, man, it's part of it. It's what we do. And it's even sweeter when you go through the lean years, the down years, the struggle. And then ultimately you get that year where you come out on top and you're a champion. Even if you're not a champion, right? Even if you, you know, get to see your team play in the championship, it's a good feeling. And I have people that troll me online and they just are like, fifth inning, bro. Still have Dodgers fans, you know, replying to content that I put out over a month ago. Throw that World Series stuff out. And I had a thought recently, like literally hours ago, like you're not about to embarrass me as a Yankee fan for going to the World Series and losing. However they lost the World Series, they lost the World Series. I knew they were gonna lose the World Series after they went down 2-0. I'm just like, they blew the games. They're just going up against the Dodgers team that spent $1 billion in the offseason, whatever. But the more I think about like fans trolling Yankee fans that didn't even make it to the World Series or didn't even make it to the postseason. Like, you can't make fun of us. You can't troll us. You can't laugh at us. And if you're a Yankee fan that is, like, so down in the dumps where you're, like, trying to shake your Yankee fandom or you're not sure if you're going to come back next year or go to games next year or wear your Yankee gear, then go. Because I'm a Yankee fan that was waiting for them to get to the World Series. Really, as an adult, because the last time they made it to the World Series, I could barely buy a beer. I'm a Yankee fan that, like, is proud that they gave us the year that they just gave us. And I'm not going to let somebody come in and laugh at me for getting to the championship. Yes, they folded in the worst way. I was physically there. I'll never forget it. But it's over. Guess what next year is? And we're in the offseason going into next year. Next year is the get back. What if they go to back-to-back World Series? They could go to back-to-back World Series and lose, but like, there's no shame in that. It sucks to lose in the championship, but they got to the championship. They did win the American League. And Juan Soto had that hit that put him in the World Series, really. The home run that won the American League for him. And I think as we get closer to the second act of this story, the origin story of how they respond, how they rebound, I think Juan Soto knows and the Yankees know that, like, yeah, we got to run it back with that guy. He had the best year of his career hitting in front of Judge. He had the best year of his career in Yankee pinstripes. It's going to be harder than you guys think to walk away from that. It's going to be harder than you guys think to walk away from an organization that consistently does go to the postseason, and now they ended their 15-year drought. Now you look at the American League, and if they make a couple moves here pitching-wise, a couple moves here, add a guy to the infield, shore up some other spots, they could be back in the World Series. And while Judge is in his prime, Soto is in his prime, Cole, young guys emerging like Austin Wells, a Jason Dominguez, an Anthony Volpe, a Luis Gil. Like, you're not going to embarrass me as a Yankee fan with a Luis Gil who just won Rookie of the Year and Judge who just won MVP and a team that just won the pennant. You feel me? Moose is out in Jamaica. Moose, you're on the fan.
You're, Keith.
You're.
About the 2024 World Series. Keith, you were in eighth grade in 2001. Arizona. Enough said. Enough said. For all those Yankee fans who don't remember or weren't alive, those who know,
I almost said that
they know.
Sucked.
That I got no sleep that night.
Yeah, like that
I
was a
weight up.
I don't know. I can handle it more as a grown man. As a kid, like you're saying, you couldn't get any sleep. I remember clicking the TV back then and being like, wait, how? And that was before we could pause. That's before you could rewind. We thought that was a done deal.
And think about Alfonso Soriano hitting lead-changing home run in the top of the night.
No, I don't even go back and watch those. You know, a lot of, like, I don't, nah. I was in.
I remember he hit the home run, and it was like, wow, he hit that off, what, Schilling or something in the top of the night?
I don't recall. I remember being in Arizona for the Fan Cave audition, and they were trolling me about little things from the game. I'm like, I blacked that out of memory. I don't know. I don't go back to
I don't know.
Hey, I don't know. Luis Gonzalez, never heard of him. I don't know who these people are. Kurt Schilling, I don't know them. I don't know them. It never happened. We don't talk about World Series we lost, right? That's why I said I was in Atlanta this year, and they had the 2003 World Series. It was like the story of the Florida Marlins, and I watched it from that perspective. I had never watched it before. It was like I was in an Airbnb where they had like the Samsung smart TV. There was nothing to watch on, and I was watching it from that perspective, and it was just so different. I suppress those memories.
Anyway, Keith, the point of my call is to talk Soto. All right, this is how I think it's going to go down. I think the Yankees have a 70 to 60% chance to re-sign them. Mets 30 to 20, and 10% up to whatever is left of those 100% could go to any team based on what they offer, what they present to him, how they're going to build a team around him, establish a winner. And I say that because of the Yankees' reputation, 30 past years of constantly being a winning franchise and making to the playoffs, as opposed to the other teams who don't have that sort of credit to what they can guarantee Soto, because Soto wants to play in the big games, the most meaningful games, establish a legacy, and he understands the proven winner of the Yankees can do that. But here's the thing. Considering his worth as a hitter, an offensive player, a position player, is roughly between 42 to 47, almost $50 million. But here's the thing. His age, the fact that he's the best free agent in his position, and the best free agent available. Based on annual value, you have to offer roughly 5 to 10, maybe $15 million more based on the bidding process. So this is where we are. There's a strong possibility we may not find out who he signs with maybe until the middle or end of December, based on the fact that teams will go back and forth with him and other teams will bid for him.
They can't do that. They can't hold up the line. They can't. They can't hold up the line, bro. There's too many free agents that other teams want to pursue. Like, they can't hold up the line.
Boris
won't do it. He learned from last year. Look at Frankie Montas getting signed. Look at Blake Snell getting signed. He's getting his guys done.
It's just that these teams will offer, and I'll leave you with this, Keith. These teams understand that with him and Judge in the Yankees order, how dominant that was in the regular season, how impactful it was in the postseason up until the World Series where Judge went cold, so it was one half of it. These other teams don't in the AL that are trying to sign Soto, ironically in the same division, have to see him all the time, don't want that pairing. So they'll pay out the woodwork. The Yankees know they don't have to pay that much. because guaranteed Soto will have a very productive career, very winning career. Thanks for taking my call, Keith. Happy holidays.
Thanks for the call, Moose. It's a game within a game, right? The Yankees aren't going to bid against themselves, and the Yankees aren't thinking, like, bro, they're not thinking that he's going to go to Toronto and play for the Blue Jays. For real? Like, can we be serious? The Boston Red Sox, yeah, you can throw a lot of different things out there about Pedro Martinez, Manny Ramirez. Oh, Big Poppy. Oh, him and Big Poppy, you know? Oh, the Green Monster, whether he's going to play left field in front of it or whether he's going to hit the ball off of it all season. I don't think he wants to go up there and be a Boston Red Sox, though. For the rest of his career, for the rest of time. And I don't think they're really like that with the money. It sounds good right now. You know why it sounds good right now? Because this is the process that you got to go through, right? He was a Yankee for a year. Hal Steinbrenner seems pretty interested in when Hal Steinbrenner seems this interested in a guy. Like, it's a game within a game. Okay, so, like, the Dodgers are out now. Yeah, the Dodgers are out. You know, they signed Blake Snell, Tommy Edman. And they were never really in. I remember that being floated during the World Series just to, like, spook Yankee fans or baseball fans. Oh, the Dodgers are interested in Juan Soto. Oh, okay. The LeBron meme with the hands up. Oh, like, we're scared now. Oh, they're moving Mookie Betts out of right field. They have an opening in right field. Oh, whatever. He's not going to go all the way to the West Coast. And, yeah, there's no other National League teams hot on his trail. What happened to the Phillies? What happened to the Nationals wanting to rekindle? Like, it's the Mets and the Yankees. We always knew that. We knew that during the season. We know that right now. And if the Red Sox come up with some ridiculous offer, I still think it's going to be hard for him to say, yeah, I'll go up there and I'll take a chance with them. A team that could be fourth place half the time that I'm there for the next 14 years. And that's another thing, too. The hourglass, the sand in the hourglass is starting to get smaller and smaller, folks. You realize that it's December 3rd today. This thing's got to be done in a week. They cannot hold up the line. And if your offers don't actually get to $700 million, you don't have a $700 million offer. And he shouldn't have a $700 million offer now that we're talking about it, because Shohei Ohtani has $700 million. Shohei Ohtani is two players in one. Shohei Ohtani is a unicorn. Shohei Ohtani is now a world champion, World Baseball Classic, World Series champion. Shohei Ohtani had the largest contract with deferred money, but what's his AAV? 46 and some change. So do I think that they'll beat that? Yeah. I think Soto, the offers for Soto are probably coming in at $47 million a year, right? 48 maybe. I think 50 is crazy when you talk about Judge being a right fielder taking $40 million a year just 2 years ago. But like 47 times 14 is $658 million. If you go 47 times 15, then we're getting up there. But why would you be signing a 26-year-old to a 15-year contract? We've seen too many of these guys. They're not doing that anymore. Nobody's doing that anymore. I think it's 12 to 14 years. I think 14 is the max. You don't want a 40-year-old DH who's not that great fielding. Like, that's when you start to crunch the numbers are what they are in Major League Baseball. And yes, Juan Soto is the centurion and all of that, but like, even if we go up to 48 times 14, I don't think we're getting a $700 million contract here. I don't think we should. I don't think anyone should. Maybe the final, like, we might hear that, but like, I don't know if the Yankees have to do that. I remember talking during the season because I went to hella games this year and I watched, and as much as he can put on a poker face, as much as he can say, it's going to be hard to walk away from what you just had. When all things are equal, the Yankees have leverage. I remember coming on one day saying, the Yankees have leverage, yo. He could leave for the Red Sox or the Mets and stay in town, but it doesn't mean that's the better move, even business-wise. Under Armour is telling him, stay with the Yankees. We lost Judge as an Under Armour client. We don't want to lose you. There's so many more marketing opportunities merch. The Juan Soto line with the shuffle logo is going to hit way better with Yankee fans buying Yankees gear. Celsius, who everybody talked about the Celsius commercial and people started connecting the dots of Celsius being a Pepsi Cola company and the Yankees having Pepsi Cola products and the Red Sox having Coca-Cola and the Mets having Coca-Cola. And I remember when I was in the fan cave, that's a real thing in baseball. Like, we weren't allowed to drink Coca-Cola products in there. You can't be photographed with a Coca-Cola product in here. We have Pepsi Cola as our, you know, distributor. That's the deal. So, I don't know. I just think it's simple, man. We're going to run out of time, one. There is only a certain amount of years, two. And there's only a certain number in AAV. And I think $50 million a year for him is kind of crazy. I think he's worth it, like, in the long term. But if we're looking at the player that I just watched every single game he played in right field, it's not like he's a plus defender like that. Let's take one more call before we go to break. Lou is in Astoria. Lou, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
I'm good, you know. Always got to talk about Juan Soto. These are the last of days. No, they're not the last of days. If he signs with the Yankees or Mets,
yeah, I know. This guy, Frankie Montag, you know, when he was really a tough pitcher, he was suspended for PEDs, and we the Yankees signed a dude, of course. But you know what? He's not what I mean, when it comes to nature, he's not that great. And I can see the mess. You know, Clay Holmes, I don't even feel bad about that because maybe Clay Holmes could be a starter. You never know. I mean,
maybe
when it comes to being a closer, you know, sometimes he was very wild. And that makes a difference. I don't know.
Seth
I want to
Lugo.
See what's going to happen. As far as Soto is concerned, go ahead.
Yeah, Seth Lugo, Seth Lugo was coming out of the bullpen for the Mets, and then I see him go to Kansas City, and I watched that game he pitched against the Yankees this year. I was like, damn, this guy had the whole kitchen sink. He had like six pitches going.
Exactly. The entire year, he was great. He was great. That was a mistake by the Mets. I can understand that. But, you know, as far as Soto is concerned, it's going to be about who's giving the most money. We already know that, okay? I mean, like you say, defensively, he's not that great. I mean, you know, but at the end of the day, whoever gets to the most money, it's going to get him. And I'm telling you right now with the Yankees, I'd rather have him gone and use that big contract to distribute around people that we need, a third baseman, starting pitcher, and the second baseman. I don't know. I know you like Jazz, but I'm not really.
I don't like Jazz.
You know, I think
you got me confused. I already said I'm out on Jazz for real. Like he did a lot of talking about He did a lot of talking about going to the World Series, winning 28, and they did not get it done. And he was
exactly.
No show in a couple of those spots, man. I know he showed up
like,
a little
exactly,
bit in the
like
World
a cheerleader,
series,
but you know,
yeah,
yeah, you know, I mean, I just want to see, I just want to see a team that, I mean, we need a leadoff man that can make contact. I don't know where. I mean, I know when Luis Arias was available, they didn't go for him. Instead, they went for the Jazz, which I don't know. I just I'm really pissed off because you know what. I mean, we could do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
I hear you. I understand. You
happy
rather
holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
You rather spread out the money to fill holes instead of putting $670 million
exactly.
into one player. And I get that. Happy holidays, Lou. Thanks for the call. But I'll counter with this. 888-808-1019. Willie and Lakewood will come to you after the break. I'll counter with this. It's not a guarantee that you plug in a Christian Walker or Anthony Santander or whoever, and they play the same in pinstripes. You know who Juan Soto is. You know Juan Soto is proven. You know he can do it. You know he can handle it. So it's like, would you rather bring him back to the team that went to the World Series, or would you rather, like, add new players and try and make a new team to get back to the World Series. I'd rather run it back. 888-808-1019. I'll be right back. Keith McPherson on The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hit that.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And we're back on The Fan in New York, 888-808-1019. C-Mac in the bullpen warming up. He's already warm, ready to go. He got his pitches in. He's ready. Let's get back to the phone. My show is expiring in the next few minutes. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Talking Rangers, Devils, Juan Soto, you know, the regular, the usual. Well, I guess Rangers, Devils is not the regular usual. I figured I could do it tonight on a night like this. Willie in Lakewood, I said you'd be first. You're first.
What's up? How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. Thank you for having. First of all, shout out to Jacob Markstrom. Terrific game tonight.
Yeah, it's just a big difference having him versus being down 1-0 every game, having a veteran. I don't have to tell you, you've been watching the games. It's just great.
100%. I mean, there were some fans that would have wanted Jake Allen to start tonight, but Markstrom answered the bell tonight. He was terrific. I think it was 37 saves on 38 shots.
Yeah, 38 saves. Rounded up 40 saves.
Yeah, right around there. And some biggies, too. I want to talk about the Devil special teams for a second. First, let's start with the power play. I remember the last couple of years, it was almost like you wanted to decline the power play. It felt like we were giving up shorty left and right, or just wasting 2 minutes passing the puck around, not really, even if we had quality shots, just not finishing them. So, first, I want to credit Sheldon Keefe and his coaching staff for that. Secondly, Dougie Hamilton back this year is big, but I think the biggest is actually Stefan Ace and net front presence.
Mm-hmm.
Being just huge on the power play for the actually we're ranked number one, I think, in the league, 2-for-4 tonight. So I believe that would have stayed. Then even bigger for me is the penalty kill. It was a week ago, I think, against Nashville, that 5-minute power play. That's when I said to myself, I'm like, we're contenders. We are contenders.
Yeah, it's like they're taking pride in it. It's like when that time comes, everybody's locked, everybody's dialed in, and a lot of these penalty kills, Markstrom, it's not like Markstrom's really got to hold it down, got to do all, like, the rest of these guys are on it. There's blocks. These guys, they're just, I don't know, they're playing different. They're skating together well. They're gelling well, and it's early, but you just hope that they continue
and
stay healthy.
You even see Jack Hughes getting time on the penalty kill, and he's there, and he was not the defensive player. I mean, I'm not going to go put him out there.
He's buying in.
He
understands.
But he's in, yeah. That's it. It's amazing. Brett Pesce just eating shots tonight over there, going down and coming back up for more. You know, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, 27 blocked shots, 10 on the penalty kill.
All right, now, someone mentioned Tom Fitzgerald a little bit earlier on in your show. Big shout-out to him, too. Signing all these guys young and cheap.
Yeah.
Now, I remember Evan Roberts, it was I think in the beginning of the summer, put out a list of all the 9 GMs of the local sports teams. And I was very upset with how he listed Tom Fitzgerald. He put him pretty low. I believe he put him 6 or 7. And I'm like, he made one mistake. He trusted Vitek Vanacek last year in a market where goalies were extremely expensive, and anybody and their mother knew the Devils were looking for a goalie. And I think he has to eat his words.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now. I'm sure he put Knicks, Yankees,
so he put
Mets.
Rose. It was Rose, Drury, because they were. He made this list right after the Rangers and the Knicks were eliminated. So I believe it was Rose, Drury, Cashman.
Can't put any of the football. Can't put Douglas. Can't put.
I believe
Shane.
He put Shane and Douglas.
So now he's already jumped those two.
Yeah. No. Well, he's got to have done that. He definitely put Lou Amarillo behind, if I remember correctly. But he definitely put Cash. Fitzgerald's the number one, in my opinion. I don't know how you argue that.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Because, I mean, you got to measure these guys on postseason success, playoff success.
That's true. 100%. That is true.
We'll see.
You got to get here. I might be jumping my horses.
Yeah,
but we
it's
get
December 3rd, but so far so good. And we know where the Devils were 2 years ago in their run. We're just hoping that they can, you know, get back to where they were 2 years ago and go further.
Yeah, but they're just built so well this year. I don't know. I just love to see it. Yeah. I'm really liking the way Keith coaches, getting them back, bouncing back after every loss. They come back big, strong.
When they went to Florida and beat the Panthers back-to-back, I'm like, all right, that's
for me,
a good sign.
I had to wait it out a bit because what I saw was they're getting shut out by San Jose. It was still lingering in my mind, and I'm like, "What happened with the
yeah,
Yankees?"
But it was
as well
1-0. It was like, I don't know, that game sucked.
No. So it happened with the Yankees as well a little bit. I don't like that game at all. It happened with the Yankees playing down to your competition.
Yeah, but it's like that. Any given Sunday type of thing. Like, you know, you could get got like that. That was November 10th. It was 1-0. They scored that first goal in the first period, and there was just nothing left. Nothing.
It was
nothing
that 5 minute kill against Nashville and did it for me. And I'm like, this team is real. This team is legit.
Yeah. I got to get back over there. I went to opening night. I haven't been to a game since. Just been busy.
To tell Mr. Steve Alicata, people pay to watch Jack Hughes play hockey. Let him do his thing.
His face, and one last thing. His voice is all over the internet. Everybody is cutting that up, screen recording it. The Devils social media team took his Instagram hockey quote, and then they put every goal behind it.
Yes, that was terrific. That was a terrific, terrific content created by whoever runs the Devils.
They're great. They don't miss.
Yeah. One thing on you were talking about Juan Soto before the break, the caller before me was saying to spread the money. I don't know. I want to drink the Kool-Aid. Hal Steinbrenner said we're in a position to sign anybody. Why can't we sign Juan Soto and spread the money?
They will. Because, like, that's what Juan Soto wants.
Exactly.
They had the meeting with him in California where he's like, okay, are you going to just sign me and that's it? No, they know they can't do that. Sign Juan Soto, sign Christian Walker, try to sign Corbin Burns, Max Fried, and let's ride.
I take Fried over the other one, but...
Why? Fried is definitely always hurt.
I agree, but I like that he doesn't walk nobody.
Yeah, I just think Corbin Burns, if you can pair, and I was dreaming of this last year, pairing Corbin Burns with Garrett Cole.
I'll take either.
I'll take either. I'll settle. I mean, I'm not going to act like Fried doesn't deserve his respect too, and he can't get it done. We'll see. Maybe neither one want to be here, but I think they should be in the top end of the free agent 100%. Pitching market for sure.
100%.
Thanks for the call,
right,
Willie.
Fine. Thank you for having me.
888-808-1019. Like, I don't think that it's like, all right, we re-signed Judge. That's it. Even though they re-signed Judge and they did get Carlos Rodon, which, you know, in hindsight now, a lot of us, myself included, were like, we got to get another starter. We got to get another. Like, they traded Jordan Montgomery. We need another. Rodon is out there. Who else is going to sign him? And now I'm like, how do we get rid of him? I don't want to see this guy pitch. I don't want this to be our game two starter. I don't want Carlos Rodon to be thrusted into another big moment, which he's going to be. But it'd be better if we had another guy in front of him. Luis Gil, rookie of the year, great. Build on that next year. Clark Schmidt, build on that next year. And I don't know what to say about Stroman or Nestor Cortez or whatever. Like, they need another guy. If you think you're going back to the World Series, if that's the whole thing, to run it back, win the American League again, get back to the World Series, whether it's the Dodgers you're meeting, whether it's the Mets that you're meeting, whoever, you need another frontline starter. Cole's going to be another year older, and you absolutely can't trust Carlos Rodon. So for me, sign Juan Soto, but you're not done. Juan Soto gets done before some of these other guys get done. That's just the order of operations. That's just how it has to happen. Juan Soto is the big fish, first domino. Sign Juan Soto, and then see if you can get Corbin Burns, see if you can get Max Fried, see if you can get Tanner Scott, man. See if you can get Walker Buehler. I know they were checking on him. 888-808-1019, taking your calls on Juan Soto, on the Devils beating the Rangers 5-1, and just, you know, hot stove started. We got to watch Jack Curry and, the Yankees and what they're literally saying on the Yankees Entertainment and Sports Network. Oh, I wanted to mention Caleb Durbin's name. The hype and the buzz around Caleb Durbin is not for nothing. Like, you can expect him to be a part of something. He's going to probably get an opportunity to compete in spring training. Jason Dominguez's name was mentioned. They also let you know, like, Anthony Rizzo, it doesn't matter if his dog is best friends with Judge's dog. That's over. Also, Gleyber Torres, thank you for your time and what you did. But, like, we don't need to run that back. We've seen all we need to see. What's another name? Willie Adames. If he's not, like, what? Could you imagine they go out and get Juan Soto, Willie Adames, Christian Walker, and a starting pitcher? And if not a starting pitcher, a reliever, Tanner Scott. But, again, plan A is Juan Soto. Go get Juan Soto. You don't get Juan Soto, then you figure out where to spend the rest of the money. I don't think it's wise to just say, they could spend the money elsewhere. Juan Soto was already on the team. You already know how he fits with the team. You already know how that's going to work. You already know what the batting order is going to be. Like, to say, they could fill so many other holes with the money that Juan Soto is going to get. Don't think about the $670 million. Think about the AAV, which I think his AAV is going to beat Ohtani. So it's going to be like $47 to max $50 million a year. And that doesn't bankrupt the Yankees. That doesn't stop the Yankees from signing other players and filling in gaps. So 888-808-1019. My time is running out. Let's go to Chippy out in Queens on the Fan. What's up, Chippy?
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, I called it before about expense. I'm a Jamaican. My accent is heavy, right?
Yes, sir.
So the time when I called it before, you didn't understand what I'm saying. But now I'm calling about one soda, right?
Right.
My belief that soda is going for the most money. And the team offer him the most money, that's who's going to get him. I don't show Yankee put out the most money. Maybe Boston, Red Sox, or the Mets can put out the most money. That's my belief about Soto, because Soto's trade and come to Yankees, and Yankees should be the first one to get Soto. So they should on the market, so much team. He should take an offer from Yankee and sign. So he's going for the most money. So any team give him most money, that's the team going to get him. That's my opinion. Thank you for the call, sir. Thank you so much.
Understood. If the theory of Juan Soto just wants to go to the highest bidder remains true, then yes, there is a thought that the highest bidder will be the richest owner in the sport in Steve Cohen. But a couple weeks ago, when we heard Hal Steinbrenner say, we can sign any player we want. Maybe I read too much into that. But to me, that sounded like an owner saying, there is no baseball contract that we can't match. But I also know in the negotiation game, you don't bid against yourself. You don't just jump from your offer to the highest offer. You play the game back and forth. You wait and see. The Yankees don't have to slap $700 million on the table. They have to slap $680 million on the table. And I think a lot of us say that these players are going to top dollar. That is a negotiation tactic in itself. They're trying to get top dollar, but they also are deciding where they want to live. They're also deciding what jersey they want to wear, what ballpark they want to play in, what lineup they want to be in, what fan base they want to rock with, what they want their legacy to be, how they where do they want their mom, their dad, their family members to be. When you get up to that level of money, I cannot tell you anything about it. I'm assuming here. When you get up to that level of money, you're rich AF. When you get up to that level of money, there's nothing you can't do. But what I think Juan Soto and Scott Boras aim to do is to make history. I don't think that they're going to be able to get $701 million on a paper from anyone. I think time will expire before the contracts get that large. But I think they'll be able to beat Ohtani's AAV for sure. 888-808-1019. So if the Boston Red Sox or the Toronto Blue Jays come through with the highest AAV and the most years, sure, there's a thought that Juan Soto could take his talents to the six or the A. I don't think so, though. I don't think he would leave New York. The winning that's here in New York on both sides now. I remember having conversations last year before the season started about the Mets not winning and how what they did in this season would impact Juan Soto's decision. Because why would he want to join some bums? They're not bums. So much so now, they're going to have a target on their back in their own division. You think the Phillies don't want some get back? The Braves don't want some get back? And I mean, they better make some moves if they're about to contend with the Dodgers or the Padres. So I think Juan Soto wants to be in New York. That's one factor. I think the Mets and the Yankees are going to have high offers. I do have a part of me that thinks that the Yankees have some leverage because he was there, because they're familiar with him, where they'll play a game. They might play a dangerous game where they aren't going to match exactly what Steve Cohen puts out there, or what the Boston Red Sox put out there, or what the Toronto Blue Jays put out there, but they might come close and say, hey, we have other things to offer, and you already know what it's like to be with us. Matt is out on Long Island. Matt, you're my last call. You got it.
Hey, Keith, thanks for having my call. Listen, I just mentioned a quick point. I only saw Trevor Lawrence hit. I think football is a scary game. You watch it every time. You never know what could happen. It's a violent hit, and I think we're going to see less quarterbacks run as just the linebackers. Hope Trevor Lawrence is okay. But listen, I just want to talk about Giants. Listen, I think the right guy thing to do is Brian Daboll. I think they're showing fight. And I think drafting quarterback is the right move. And I trust those guys because I look at Bryce Young right now, his second year. They got him a coach. He's playing really good. They're building around him. And it's going to take time overall in this regime. And I think Shane and Daboll are the right guys. I trust Shane to build around him. I really do. I think the Giants, they're going to finish the season strong and show some fight when they couple games, and I think they're going to be back here. And I think when they get a quarterback, it's not going to be all-star, but the puzzle pieces will start clicking once they have their maybe franchise quarterback or quarterback. So I just wanted to end it on that.
Yeah.
And shout out on that. And
thanks for the call, Matt. C-Mac will talk about it. You know, I just was using the talk back button during the break to talk to Fleegs and C-Mac. We're all in agreement on the quarterback that the Giants should be targeting, who the Giants should be looking to draft. And I think it makes sense for the other quarterback to go to the other team too. And no, the quarterback doesn't solve everything, but I think this kid is a perfect project for Brian Daboll. If we're talking all of this about what he can do with a quarterback, like you saw what he did with Tommy DeVito in a short amount of time last year. Well, this guy needs a Brian Daboll to watch film with, to practice with, to be yelled at, to tighten up a little bit, make him not turn the ball over so much. Yeah, I think I know who they should be targeting. And I think the chips will fall in a way where, you know, he'll be right there for him. So, all right, I'm about to go home. You know, sure some of you enjoyed it. I'm sure some of you are like, not so much. I don't know. C-Mac is coming up next. I'll be back on at 7 p.m. Keith McPherson out of here. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.